Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the April 10th meeting of the Aiken City Council. We will have an invocation by Reverend Gwendolyn Jenkins Bozeman, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by our chief. Reverend Jenkins.
Good evening. May we pray. O Lord, our Creator and our Maker, how excellent is your name. And we come now to invoke your presence in this place. Allow your spirit to permeate these proceedings. Allow your grace and mercy to guide these thy people. We're grateful, Lord, for the freedom and liberty of dialogue and debate and discussion, for the improvement of our communities and for the benefit of all, every one of its citizens. We pray it and we ask these blessings. In the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Mayor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a rather lengthy agenda, so I definitely want to go over our guidelines for everyone at this time. Our meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, discipline, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearing, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. If you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once, unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And I appreciate your cooperation in holding true to our guidelines. With that, I would like to recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. Reggie Edner, for additions and deletions to our agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does any council members have any additions or changes to the agenda for tonight? Hearing none, Mr. Mayor, I so move.
We have a motion.
Second.
Mr. DeWall with the second. All those in favor of the agenda as presented? And that's unanimous. Thank you. The minutes were distributed to council members prior to this meeting for their review. Is there a motion for the acceptance of the minutes?
I move we adopt the minutes.
Okay. Ms. Price with the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Diggs, for a second. Any changes? Hearing none. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to presentations. It's going to be a banner year. One of the presentations is a request to place banners in the downtown promoting the Hops and Hogs event. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, Avery Spears Mahoney, our executive director of the Aiken Downtown Development Association, is requesting permission to place 5 banners in the downtown area promoting the Hops and Hogs event. The event is to be held on Friday, May 19th, in the downtown area. The request is to place banners at the intersection of Richland and Lawrence and Park, Whiskey at South Boundary. For council consideration is permission to place 5 banners in the downtown area promoting the Hops and Hogs event.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? That's unanimous.
You didn't get a motion.
We didn't get a motion.
And excuse me, we didn't get a motion. Is there a motion? Is there a motion? Ms. Diggs with a motion. Is there a second? Second. Okay. Any other comments? No? Okay. All those in favor? And it's unanimous. Thank you, council. Number two is a request to place banners in the downtown area promoting the Aiken Garden Show. Is there a motion? Second.
I second.
Ms. Diggs, thank you. comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the chair of the Aiken Garden Show is requesting permission to place 5 banners in the downtown area promoting the Aiken Garden Show. The event is to be held on Friday, May 19th, and Saturday, May 20th. There will be tours of 10 private gardens. For council consideration is permission to place 5 banners in the downtown area promoting the Aiken Garden Show activities.
Mr. Clem, comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Number 3 of the presentations, this is a request to place banners in the downtown promoting the farmer's market in the alley. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Thank you, Ms. Titch. We have a motion. Second is comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, our Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department and the Aiken Downtown Development Association are requesting permission to place 6 banners in the downtown area promoting Thursday Market in the Alley. The event is to be held on Thursdays in June in the alley area. The council consideration is permission to place 6 banners in the downtown area promoting the Thursday Market in the Alley event.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Hearing none, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. I might just say before we move on, I think we had 4 banners last meeting. We had 3 this. I think it's exciting in that it shows that there's a lot of activity going on, and we like to promote that. However, I'm picking up that there may be some issue with the coordination, and frankly, are we running out of places to put the banner? So is there a committee or staff who might could direct some of these to John, or maybe you could come back with a recommendation for us? And maybe we could consider these as a group. I don't know. We can talk about it as a council. But
what maybe, locations are these
yeah,
going?
Maybe we could just do banners.
Same one.
We all have the same intersection,
yeah.
So that's the challenge.
I would just like to ask staff if they could come back maybe with some recommendations on that. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to make a presentation, and it's not on the agenda, but recently at our last meeting, we actually were presented with a Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting, and it was our 25th consecutive year as receiving this award. It was presented to the City of Aiken, South Carolina, for its comprehensive annual fiscal report. This one was for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2016. So it was our silver anniversary. So if I could and put her on the spot, is our finance director, Kim Abney, here? Kim, come on up if you would. And I am putting her on the spot. We actually have the award in silver for our silver anniversary. We'd like to present it for you on behalf of you, your staff, and the legacy of people who have worked so hard. 25 years is quite an accomplishment, so I'd like to come up and present this to you. Down to old business. Number 1, this is approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the council has 16 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. 2 appointments are presented for council's consideration and vote at the meeting tonight. Councilman Ebner has recommended the appointment of John Limprick to the Housing Authority to fill a position with a gentleman who has resigned. If appointed, Mr. Limprick's term would expire May 28th, 2022. Terms of the Housing Authority are for 5 years. Councilman Merry has recommended the reappointment of James R. Finley to the Building Codes Appeals Committee. If reappointed, Mr. Finley's terms would expire May 12, 2019. For council consideration is the appointment of John Limprick to the Aiken Housing Authority Board and the reappointment of James R. Finley to the Building Code Appeals Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Clue. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is that news? We have a motion.
Second.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Unless you want.
Thank you.
Are there any other appointments
to be considered for our next meeting? All right. Thank you. Moving down old business to number two. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone 4.43 acres plus or minus located at 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family RS-15 to planned institutional PI and approve the concept plan. By title, this is an ordinance to rezone certain properties located at 573 Town Creek Road from residential single-family RS-15 to planned institutional PI and to approve the proposed concept plan. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Edmund, we'll have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Mokey, appreciate that. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, at their January 10, 2017 meeting, the Planning Commission considered a request from MKP Properties, the applicant, to rezone 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family to planned institutional. They also requested approval of a concept plan. The property is owned by Town Creek Baptist Church and was their former church sanctuary, gym, and classrooms. The applicant, MKP Properties, intends to repurpose and refurbish the original Town Creek Baptist Church sanctuary and two accessory structures for use as a senior activity center. No major structural changes are planned for the buildings aside from those that are needed to enhance the safety and appearance of the structures. The applicants propose to use the sanctuary as an event center for cultural entertainment, caregiver education and support, as well as community social events. The former meeting hall and gym will house classroom space for senior activities as the primary activity on the site. The cemetery will remain under the ownership and maintenance of Town Creek Baptist Church. The planned institutional zone provides location for schools, churches, and some other institutional uses in locations which may affect residential or other restrictive zones or less intense uses. The proposed zoning of planned institutional requires a concept plan approval by City Council after the Planning Commission review. After reviewing the proposal, the Planning Commission recommended approval of the rezoning request to plan institutional and approval of the concept plan with the conditions outlined in the memorandum contained in your agenda. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 23, 2017 meeting. However, at the February 13th meeting and the February 27th meetings, this request for rezoning and approval of the concept plan was continued at the request of the applicant. There were questions regarding the provision of sanitary sewer to the property. A condition of approval of the concept plan was that the existing buildings connect to the city sewer system. To connect to the city's sanitary sewer system, the cost was estimated to be about $65,000 as the line needed to be run to the property as the sewer line does not run in front of this property. With the cost being so high to provide the sewer service, the applicant applied to DHEC, to the state, for a waiver from connecting to the city's sewer system and approval to be able to continue use of the existing septic tank system currently being used for this property. This permission was approved. The state reviewed the ingress and egress to the site and deemed the matter one for the city to decide. Our staff recommends approval of the ingress and egress as currently configured. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone 4.43 acres located at 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family to planned institutional and approve the concept plan with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission as amended by what was just outlined.
Thank you, Mr. Clue. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to old business number three. This is first reading of an ordinance to approve a concept plan for property owned by Kensington Development, LLC, located near Whiskey Road and Powderhouse Road. By title, an ordinance to approve the concept plan for the property located near the intersection of Whiskey Road and Powderhouse Road. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Edmund, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Duarte. Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, Kensington Development, LLC, the applicant and owner, is requesting approval of a concept plan for residential development on 13.36 acres located near Whiskey Road and Powderhouse Road. The property was zoned planned commercial by ordinance in August of 2003. The proposed residential development will consist of townhome units, and the development would be a continuation of previous residential phases. The remaining 6.18 acres fronting on Whiskey Road would be reserved for future commercial retail use. A concept plan must be reviewed by the Planning Commission and approved by City Council for any development in the planned commercial zone. This property is surrounded by unincorporated land on the north, south, and west. To the east is incorporated land, which is zoned planned commercial and is occupied by previous phases of the Kensington development. The developer has submitted a traffic study for the proposed development, and it has been reviewed by the on-call traffic engineer. Access to the new residential development will be an extension of Vanderbilt Drive, which currently serves the existing Kensington subdivision. The developer is asking that the driveways be allowed to be 24 foot wide to accommodate the off-street parking, which would be a waiver from the driveway width requirement. They're also asking for a waiver for the requirement regarding garages. In the proposed development, all garages would face the street. The Planning Commission, at their February 14, 2017 meeting, reviewed the proposed concept plan for Kensington Phase 4 and recommended by a vote of 6-1 that the concept plan be approved with the conditions as stated in the memorandum contained in your agenda. This request was discussed at length at the February 27, 2017 meeting, where many of the residents of the Kensington subdivision were present and voiced opposition to the proposed development. At the time, Council continued the first reading and asked that the developers and residents of Kensington subdivision meet and try to resolve some of their issues regarding the development. Residents met with the developer and were unsuccessful at obtaining a resolution. Several options were discussed at the meeting. One option was based on the 2005 concept plan, which called for the Surrey Park Drive to be extended to Whiskey Road. However, this concept plan expired in 2010 due to no development being initiated. Any option being considered at this time does not include Surrey Park Drive being extended to Whiskey Road. There were some miscommunication between the Kensington POA and the city, which led to a misunderstanding that Surrey Park Drive would be extended to Whiskey Road. The City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to approve a concept plan for Phase 4 of the Kensington subdivision with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Clune. We obviously recognize the sensitivity of this issue because I know most of you are here about this. In our last meeting, we had opportunity to hear a lot of the concerns that were voiced. We're going to start, and we are going to adhere to the 5 minutes so that we'll have an opportunity for people to speak and address this. We're going to start with the proposed developer. Is there anyone from Kensington Development, LLC, who would like to address council? State your name and address.
Yes, Philip Green, 1233 Augusta West Parkway. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. I will try to be brief, as this is the continuation. As was mentioned by Mr. Clem, as directed by the Council, we did meet with the city staff, the Kensington Homeowners Board, and members of the Kensington community who had voiced concerns over our proposed concept. There were some questions and discussions about trying to provide the access to Whiskey Road. However, as we mentioned before, it's economically unfeasible for residential development to make this connection and incur all those costs with no commercial at this time. After several attempts to explain our position, there was some discussion between the Kensington POA board and the Kensington residents, and at that point the meeting began to break up and it basically ended. We did have some discussion with other points with the Kensington board members, and these points are things that the developer is willing to consider and provide, those being in order to have the new section create a cohesive community is to include it within the Kensington POA. They originally, I believe in the narrative, it said that there would be a separate homeowners association. But in order to retain some level of control, it would make more sense to combine them into one POA. So this new section would fall under all the governance and rule of the existing homeowners association. However, they did ask that we provide some separation in the names rather than this be Kensington Phase 4. A name, something along the lines of Kensington Park, would be applied to this new section. We would provide a landscape berm between the proposed detention pond area and in addition to the 25-foot buffer to provide a barrier between the residents on Surrey Park and the detention pond. And so, we've been requested to look at adding stop signs at the Surrey Park and Vanderbilt intersection to create a three-way stop. And that would try to help break up the speed of any traffic traveling down Vanderbilt. And finally, the owner has deeded some land behind some of the houses on Surrey Park to clear up some encroachment issues from some irrigation lines and some fences that were built during the existing Kensington. We are asking for the 60 lots as shown on the concept plan, with no additional residential buildings to be constructed within the existing Kensington subdivision. And again, no commercial development is part of this concept plan at this time. In addition, the original developer of Kensington has no plans to further develop within the existing sections. We still believe that extending the residential component of the PC plan will have the least impact on the environment, traffic, and adjacent neighbors. If this residential section is not approved with the connection to Vanderbilt, the owner would have no choice other than just market the entire 19 and a half acres as commercial to front on Whiskey and gain access that way. We do request that the proposed concept be approved as shown with the conditions enumerated by Planning Commission. And I'd be glad to answer any questions, but we thank you for your consideration.
If this was approved, over what time period would you expect that many units to be built out?
I would anticipate it to be built out in two phases, probably split 30 and 30, maybe, depending on, obviously it's going to be market driven. If everything goes well, I would think maybe 18 months to 2 years for each phase.
Okay, are there any other questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
First, just for staff, other than this drawing, do we have any other rendering of the actual plan?
I'm going to ask our planning director to come up.
This is the only thing in our package. Do we have anything else other than this in our plan? Because this is hard to, it's so small. But then part B of that question is, I know we had it last time we looked at this matter. Do we have a drawing of what has already been approved or already in existence or already the status of that property? Do we have any of that in this packet? Because I can't find it.
Maybe she could put page 96 up on the screen.
So that's the only thing that we've got.
That's over there. Right, that's all.
That's all we've got. That little bit of thing. Do we have a drawing of what original plan was that is the current status or the current...
We have a long copy.
Yeah, if you've got it, that'd be great. We can get it put on this, if it's depending upon the scale, we might get it on this overhead for everybody. Dynamite.
2003 and 2005 plans that were approved by ordinance.
That is 11, which is which? Oakwood and Oak Park?
2003 has vacant space in the shopping center, and 2005 has representative shops.
Okay.
We have more detail.
Let's see. I see what you're saying. All right, so, because...
One of those two...
I guess it was the 2003 version had shown a connection from Whiskey Road all the way into Kensington. And here again, it's there on the 2005 one. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that... With proposed development as you are suggesting it...
Would that
future access to Whiskey Road be eliminated, or would that be something that might show up down the road still?
It would be eliminated.
And you can guarantee that? You'd be able to guarantee that? I mean, it'd be
no, sir. Any future concept for that front commercial would have to come through City Council, and they could require it to be connected.
Well, yeah, we could, of course, require it. But in other words... Right now, there's probably an argument that could be made that the owner has a use by right, or a right to make the connection from Whiskey through Kensington right now. And
Mr. Attorney, I don't think that's right. That plan expired in 2010.
That is part of the problem with these issues. The properties were not developed and no building permits have been issued under the currently existing concept plans for longer than 7 years. State law gives you about 7 years. It's called the Vested Rights Act. So they would have been allowed to develop that property within 7 years if they had made proper application for extensions of the concept plan and that sort of thing.
So the existing plan is expired?
I don't want to say it is expired.
We need to know
but
that.
But if a new developer or the existing developer... You didn't bring this to council originally.
No.
Somebody else did, correct?
Correct.
And if that developer still owned the property and had finally decided he had survived the economic downturn of the 2000s and came back and wanted to develop the property in accordance with the plan that had been approved previously by City Council would have the right, based on whatever changes and circumstances had occurred since this plan was originally approved, to make modifications to that plan or reconsider a brand new plan altogether. But he would not necessarily have a right to develop this property in accordance with the plan that was approved more than 7 years ago.
So we could enforce a plan on him, but he can't enforce a plan on us.
That's correct.
Okay. So then it's, in your professional opinion, there is no right, by virtue of the previously approved plans, there's no right for connection to Whiskey Road through Kensington.
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
I believe that's correct.
All right. That was a big part of my question. And then, in your case, what you stated earlier is that it either would be done as drawn with the potential modifications that you suggested that you had talked to some folks about, or not done at all, and it would be put up for sale.
And I would mention, however, there is currently a crash gate at the end of Vanderbilt that provides, for public safety, provides a secondary access point into Kensington.
I just think for everybody's interest, I don't think the folks of Kensington would want there now or ever to be a paved thoroughfare from Whiskey through Kensington to get which is, you know, was shown on these plans.
Right, and on our concept plan, it's not shown.
Right, well, I know that.
And anything that would
That's why I was asking if you'd guarantee that it was taken away, because I don't think this would be good for the Kensington neighborhood that way.
Right, yes, sir. It's certainly not our plan to do that. Again, a concept plan would have to be brought into council for the commercial, and at that time, obviously, council could require, but
that would seem to be a small connection for
the access to the crash gate.
Yeah, I'm not inclined to grant that. I just thought that it had been granted, and we were not in a position to be able to take it away, per se. But the city attorney has told me something to the contrary.
Yes, sir.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Green at this time?
Thank you, Council.
We have a representative from the POA. I won't say the name of Mr. Lucasio. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Michael Ocasio, 668 Kensington Court. I'm the president of the Kensington Property Owners Association. I just have a brief letter I'd like to read. The Kensington Property Owners Association Board is in favor of the Kensington for Residential Concept Plan. We feel that a residential project is preferable versus the property being developed for a commercial project, which we feel would disrupt the quality of life in our Kensington community. The concept plan put forth by Kensington Development LLC will fit nicely with the existing Kensington properties, and we feel will help maintain or raise the property values for all of the Kensington homeowners. Questions?
You're saying that in reference to how it's been actually proposed by the developer.
Sir?
That letter has been referenced to how it's actually proposed by the developer.
Yes.
Okay. Because we had this other sort of suggestion from some other residents to do it differently. All right, thank you.
Do you have members of that homeowners association here tonight that was in agreement with what you're saying? Do you have any of the people that was in agreement with the information you just presented to us? Are they here tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, they're showing their hands.
They're popping up for them.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Mr. Rossetti, I know you had comments. I don't know if you...
I'm here on behalf of Mr. Rossetti.
Okay. Would you care to make comments at this time?
Yes, sir. May I
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Danny Mostel on behalf of Dave Rossetti. And, with great hesitation, but at the same time, we'll say that Mr. Rossetti has supplied this August group with a petition signed by 75 of the 87 home members within Kensington. We do not speak on behalf of the Homeowners Association or the organized, incorporated POA. However, I would note that there's been no board meeting that my client is aware of or any other residents of Kensington to approve or disapprove or to even discuss this plan. And I'd like to start my remarks, understanding I've only got 5 minutes and I will try and keep it to much less than that. There was a philosopher named Eli who said, wear the right costume and the part will play itself. And my client told me that the TV would be here and that I should wear my best suit. What I did was I rode my bicycle from Jim Lakes down Town Creek. I rode down Pine Log, then I rode down Whiskey Road. At one point, there was no bicycle lane. I brushed against hedges along Whiskey Road. Now, a safer route is down Powder House to Banks Mill or to Boundary, and then through the neighborhoods to come downtown. Much safer, a little bit longer. And what Kensington is trying to prevent is traffic congestion. The developer's plan increases the density of population in phase four by 35%. They left that out of their presentation, over what is already currently allowed in Kensington. Two cars, 60 homes, 120 cars coming in and out, deliveries, construction, etc., all coming down Vanderbilt and then feeding into Powderhouse. The residents of College Acres and the residents of Kensington deserve better than that congestion. There's been a traffic study done by the developer, or by the developer's third party. Another traffic study was done on the corner of Vanderbilt and Powderhouse, which I think is more accurate and something that this council ought to look at. It's not just the traffic within the neighborhood, it's the traffic coming by the neighborhood and going into the neighborhood. This development 14 years ago was sold as being Kensington 1 through 3 and then commercial with exits on the Whiskey Road. Now the developer, for whatever reason, says it's not economically feasible to have an exit on Whiskey Road. But everybody knows if there's a residential section behind shops at Whiskey, people are going to enter and exit from Whiskey. They're not going to go through Kensington. What I'm talking about today is quality of life. This council has said in the past that it is devoted to quality of life, that bicycle paths and safety of people in their neighborhoods is important. The congestion that this particular plan will create should not be outweighed by the tax revenues and the congestion that this plan will create. And frankly, more than one plan has been submitted to the Planning Council, one by the developer, one by Mr. Rossetti, who has got a master's in engineering and design. That's been ignored. The developer says that it costs too much to exit on Whiskey Road and to create a commercial development. The people that purchased in Kensington between 2003 and now purchased in reliance upon the development as approved by the city. And of course, I agree with Mr. Smith. Vesting is simply something that helps a developer for 5 to 7 years, 7 years apparently in the city of Aiken, 5 in the county of Barnwell, which means you can't change the zoning on them after they've gotten an approved development plan. It doesn't mean that you must bow down to the developer or accede to their demands in any way, simply because they want to make a quick buck. Now, I heard it economically unfeasible today at this podium. Apparently, when I wasn't involved back at the Planning Commission, the developer said it's economically unfeasible to have this 60 housing unit development exit on Whiskey Road. No cost studies were presented, no surveys of traffic, nothing was presented to support that contention other than a flat assertion. But you have a large room of folks here. Begging is too hard of a word. Requesting strenuously that the city council at least look at this in depth before approving the concept plan. That you look at what will happen to the neighborhood. Look at the quality of life in that neighborhood prior to making a decision that will add 150 cars to the traffic on Vanderbilt Drive and burden the residents across the street in College Acres in a similar fashion. Keep Powderhouse safe. Keep it as a place where people can bike without fear of their lives, without being pushed into hedgerows. And if the developer wants to sell the 19 acres, which sounds so dramatic, but let them sell the 19 acres. It's valuable property. And let them exit outside of Kensington. Don't let them use Kensington as their thoroughfare. Thank you very much, and I appreciate your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Mosco. And I'll open it up for some limited discussion at this time. Ms. Rossetti.
Good evening, Council. My name is Dave Rossetti, 281 Vanderbilt. I'd just like to make a small correction. I do have a master's degree, but I have two engineering degrees in industrial and mechanical engineering and a bachelor and a master's in business administration. I've given you this copy once before. It's Keep Kensington Safe. The original copy I gave you was called Keep Kensington Great Again. Mm-hmm. And I kind of spun that from our last presidential campaign. I only had a...
Picked up on that.
I only had a few days to put this together, okay? And everything in here is 100% accurate the first time. And I responded 3 or 4 pages here, and I just want to kind of expand on those. And the title change applies not only to the residents of Kensington, it applies to everyone that goes through Powder House Road, because there's a definite issue at the corner of Powder House and Vanderbilt. I would like you to turn to page 2. These are one of the changes, the alternate concept that I have that I presented at the last one. The only change I've made to this is at the time when I came up with this concept after the Planning Commission meeting, I did not know any regards to Department of Transportation's new rules. You know, I just looked up and down Whiskey Road and didn't see regress or egress, and I actually had to look them up in a dictionary to see what they meant. And based upon some of the research I've done on the internet and what has currently been done on Whiskey at the new Holiday Inn Express, the only thing that I feel that needs to be done is a small deceleration lane. The Holiday Inn Express has no left-hand turn lane. They use the center lane on Whiskey Road, and there's no acceleration lane. There's a small deceleration lane, and I feel that would apply to this concept here as well. You could see that their plan is somewhat similar to ours, other than we are using a dual-access commercial and residential entrance from Whiskey Road versus our entrance through Vanderbilt and Kensington. Page 2, or the next page, is the Whiskey Road, basically blown up again with the deceleration. Basically shows a little bit more about how they could possibly develop this. I don't know if... one thing I've got to state is when we came to the Planning Commission meeting, we were under the understanding that the developer was at least going to review and at least have some documentation on why it's economically infeasible. And we received nothing. We received no quotes, no plan, no maps, no cost estimates, no dialogue with the Department of Transportation. We received nothing to confirm their position on the alternate concept was economically unfeasible. They came up with a number and didn't come up with any documentation to support this number. So I don't know about the number. You know, I'm an engineer, but I don't know about that number. So that's what I felt when we left the Planning Commission meeting. We were all a little disheartened, I guess you could say, because we thought that they would at least came to the table with something that kind of promoted this concept. We was really hoping that they would come back with a concept very close to this. The next page is our traffic study that we produced on our own with the help of some of our own residents and myself. It's a week-long study. It's pretty much at peak hours, but over a period of a few hours, over a period of 4 little over 4 days, there was over 10,000 cars at the corner of Powder House and Vanderbilt. One thing I did not take into account when I did this traffic study is when there is a new product development, housing development, there is a flurry of activity that takes place. We all know that when you build homes, I'm assuming at the beginning of the phase, all the...
Mr. Rossetti, we're at five. I want to allow you to finish that.
Okay.
Thought.
We did look at that. I understand. Okay.
So please finish that thought.
And we think that there's going to be too much traffic associated with the construction, the realtors, the new home buyers, and on and on. I just would like to follow on the last page with the petitions. I've communicated with residents numerous times. And what started to be a small campaign has turned into be something a little bit more. The headlines of yesterday's paper kind of confirms that. And I've been trying to keep in touch with the community via flyers, conversations. And yesterday, when my wife works midnight shift, she sent me the link of the article, and I told her to pick up a paper on the way home from work. And on the way to church, I picked up 50 copies of the Standard, and when I came home, I was the paper boy. And instead of just throwing the paper on people's porches, I actually talked to people in our community. And I told them about the issues, and we have 100% agreement. Within reason, okay? Thank you.
Mr. Rossetti, thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Please feel free. Yeah, I apologize. I don't know your name. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Linda Taylor, and I'm sorry I couldn't hear most of what he was saying. Undoubtedly wasn't speaking in the microphone, but I have a good idea. I live at 204 Heathwood Drive that adjoins this property. My husband and I have been there since 1975, and we knew eventually something was going to be developed back there. When we moved there, it was a hayfield. My son used to work on the hay tractor and bale that, but that's not the point. I just hope that the council will approve, consider what the developer is doing. Excuse me. There has been a traffic study done, and if you go from Powder House Road and to Heathwood Drive, a little over a quarter of a mile, you got basically 11 exits already. So I would hope that the council would approve it as presented by the developer. And in the long run, I think the residents of Kensington would be much happier with neighbors than commercial property. They've asked the developer, and he's agreed. They want sidewalks. They want to be able to walk. They want to be able to walk their dogs. And the developer's already come out and cleaned out, because of a snowstorm, cleaned out that emergency exit. And there's people walking back behind my house all the time. And if they think they want commercial, then they need to go walk up at Publix in the parking lot or Targets or something. Commercial is not the way to go. And I'm not a public speaker, but I hope you would take this in consideration, because I am for the development. I'd like to have some new neighbors, and I don't need refrigerated units that are delivering something to a grocery store or a bar back behind my house. And just, it's, you know, I live off Whiskey Road. I know what it is. But I would appreciate if y'all take in consideration the way the developer has presented it, because I think that's the only way to go. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Please stay. Yes, sir. Would you state your name and address?
Yes, sir. My name is Steve Joyner. I live at 258 Vanderbilt Drive, Aiken, South Carolina. And I wanted to weigh in briefly. I am not a traffic study expert. But I will say that I spent my entire career in emergency management, and back in the 80s, I was in California when they were putting in a commercial nuclear power plant, and you know how picky folks in California can be. We had hearing after hearing. But what we did find out, because I got directly involved in traffic studies, as you increase density, when I say density, I'm talking about people in automobiles traveling up and down the streets. It's not a straight line. It's more like you add a few and you're okay, and you add a few more and you're not so good, and you add a few more and you got a lot of congestion. I would invite you, if you haven't already done so, to come into Kensington, and it's got a beautiful entryway. Split comes back in, and the road is narrow, and the mailboxes are right up against the curbs. You can't, it's difficult for two cars right now to pass. Not saying you can't do it. We have contractor vehicles parked on the side of the street all day, every day. Roofing repair, carpet cleaners, carpenters, you name it. So there's always somebody parked up and down the street. So you got this little zigzag maneuver going on all the time. So that's why I'm worried a little bit about the density. I think that's a safety issue. As has been stated, there are no sidewalks. Where are you going to go? A lot of our folks are kind of elderly. Sorry, everybody. They are, and there's really nowhere to go. And they love those little puppies and those little dogs, and there's nowhere to go. So there you have it. I think from a common sense viewpoint, we're kind of doing a little compression here just to sort of kind of make it work. Now, I don't really have that much of a mental dog in the fight, but when I look at the concept plan, this alternate concept on the brochure, I thought it was very well done. And what I saw was a separation between the two neighborhoods. Because the construction in the new neighborhood is going to be different from the construction as Kensington is now. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. It really doesn't fit, so maybe that doesn't matter. However, if you take all of those people and you want to run them down right down through Kensington, right down through the middle on Vanderbilt, it's going to be a mess. Because backing out of your driveway now is kind of a... You better be a little careful. We got a lot of old people that live in Kensington. You know what I'm saying? And another thing is, I'm against what the other lady said about commercial development. Commercial development will come. And it will come along that strip. That is prime real estate right there. Somebody's going to do well. It should be looked at right now as to how we want to do that, because there will be ingress and egress on the Whiskey Road just for the commercial development. And that egress could very well include access into the new neighborhood. And again, if you get a chance to go there and look, right now, today, on the other side of the street and up the street a little ways and down the street a little ways, it's not all that developed yet. If we wait, we're going to just be in a mess, and everything's going to be congested, and it's not much we can do about it in the future. So I like to plan now. But I agree with all these folks. I live there, but I still agree with all these folks. It's just too much density on that road. If the road was wide, I wouldn't be here saying this, but the road is not wide. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan.
Anyone want to speak to maybe you're going to do something that we haven't already said? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Carol Carver. I live on Crestwood Drive, 108 Crestwood Drive. My neighborhood backs up to what will be the new Kensington if it's approved. I'm here for several different reasons. Years ago, we fought Sam's coming in. After that, we fought the ugliest shopping center you've ever seen, and it did not get approved. So when this development came up, we were really pleased. We were pleased because there were going to be homes behind our home. And I realized the very front of it at some point could be commercial, but we were very, very pleased that it was not going to be commercial, and there were going to be trucks in there at all hours of the night. I don't think the people in Kensington realize that if it is commercial, that's very well what could happen. We fought long and hard, and we're very, very happy. We're with the developer on this. Mr. Rossetti's plan, at least what I saw of it, had a road coming directly behind my home, leading out to Whiskey Road. And I don't know if you guys got this. It's chicken scratch. But it was basically how I felt about this. He says it's a safety issue for Powder House. It's much more of a safety issue for Whiskey Road. And again, my little map only shows how many roads are around Crestwood Drive. It's not only a safety issue for our neighborhood, especially turning left. I go that way to go to work every day, and I'm crossing. I have to make sure I can get across four lanes of traffic, basically. But it's also a safety issue for Trinity United Methodist Church, which is directly across the street from my house. It's a very active church. They have something going on every night, and it was kind of funny because in Sunday's paper, they listed a beekeepers group that meets there the fourth Tuesday of the month. There's 75 members. Now, granted, they're not all going to turn left, but some of them will. Mr. Rossetti's plan has a road directly behind one house space. And I don't know. I don't know if DOT has to approve that road, but it's not going to be a safe thing for our neighborhood at all. If you're turning out left and there's a car coming directly from that road, there's no way you're ever going to get out. So there is a safety issue there for us. The other thing, in Sunday's paper, Mr. Rossetti stated he didn't care if it was commercial. He didn't care if it was a truck stop. I know y'all would not put a truck stop back there, but I do care if it's a truck stop. I mean, I'm fully happy with Kensington, the fourth phase coming in. I think it's a great plan, and I have driven back numerous times since all this started into their neighborhood. The roads are no more narrow than any other new subdivision that's going on in Aiken. It's a very quiet. Every time I've been back there, I haven't even seen another car. So I think the traffic study that the developer did is probably a little more accurate. And I understand about the concerns for Powder House. My son lives on Furman. He lives in College Acres. There is a concern. But again, what they're asking for, I don't think it's warranted. I don't think there's going to be that much more traffic coming out of that neighborhood. And as long as you're careful turning out, I mean, it's just like us. We have to be careful when we're turning out on Whiskey Road. I don't see where it's going to be a problem for these people. I mean, I just don't. I'm really hoping that you'll consider what we're saying. As far as a petition goes, if you need a petition, I can go around in my neighborhood and I will get plenty of people, and I can go to Trinity and get plenty of people. They have a preschool there. They have a very, very busy church. There's always cars over there. I probably had passed 40 cars today when I was leaving to come here for a meeting they had going on this afternoon. I think that's all I need to say. Let me look real carefully. I think that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Ms. Carver.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
Mr. Rossetti, you want to take 1 minute because your name was mentioned several times, and that I don't know if you have any exception to. Yeah, well, sorry, Bo, but you certainly take a minute.
And Your Honor, if it would please the council, there's a lot of people here from Kensington that probably have a lot of the same things to say, and I know that the council's time is precious. But if everybody that is opposed to the plan that lives in Kensington could stand just so we can see the opposition.
Well, we'll do that in a moment, James. But it's not a vote of popularity. But that certainly does make an impact, and we will. But as a last speaker, I wanted to give you an opportunity to take a minute.
Okay, I got a phone call from the executive news director, editor from the Aiken Standard Friday at 4 o'clock asking for a statement. He left it on my message. I called him back. I gave him a lot of statements and a little bit of my anger. I just said, I don't care what they build. They can build a truck stop. But everybody knows I don't mean that. I did send him three separate emails telling him what I wanted him to say after our conversation. I have transmittals of the the email response. But I asked them to print this. We don't care what they build out there, commercial or residential, as long as it goes out Whiskey Road and not through Kensington. And that's what I wanted him to say. The truck stop statement was...
I think everyone understands it's somewhat facetious.
I just wanted to clarify.
I thought you might want to, so okay. That's good.
There's a person that's had his hand up in the back for some time.
Okay, this will be our last speaker, and then I'll do what you suggested. Good evening.
My name is Janice Wilkins. I reside at 59 Vanderbilt Drive. I was unable to attend the Planning Commission meeting or the City Council meeting on this housing development, but I did watch both meetings in their entirety on the Aiken Channel, and I do appreciate the city for providing that access.
Thank you.
Those were the only two meetings that have been held concerning this development. Is that correct?
To this point,
public meetings.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm covered. Okay, I am opposed to this housing development because of the additional traffic to Powder House Road. My home sits on the corner of Powder House and Vanderbilt in College Acres. I'm directly across the street from the entrance to Kensington. From the side of my house to the edge of Powder House Road is about 40 feet, so I'm right on it. I've lived in this house for about 30 years and have seen it go from a low-traveled country road to the heavily traveled road that it is today. You know, if you don't travel a particular road every day or actually live on it, you really don't know what the traffic is like. Living right on Powder House Road, I can say with complete confidence that it has become the de facto bypass for the nightmare that is Whiskey Road. Let's face it, if you're not actually going somewhere on Whiskey, then you're trying to avoid it. If you're coming north from New Ellington and want to head downtown or anywhere on the east and north side of town, you're going to cut down Powder House to avoid Whiskey, and vice versa. Several acquaintances of mine traveling from the north side to Savannah River every day, or even Lowe's or Target, come down Powder House to avoid Whiskey. And the newest thing for Powder House in the last few years is the 18-wheel trucks. Day and night, 7 days a week, we've got 18-wheeled vehicles on Powder House. They're coming west on Pine Log towards Whiskey, or north on 19 from New Ellington, and when they get to Powder House, they don't want to travel on down to McDonald's. They want to cut through on Powder House. And there are signs on Pine Log and Whiskey right before you get to Powder House that say trucks to 302 or trucks to 19 with a symbol of an arrow pointing straight towards McDonald's. They don't pay any attention to them, but they're there. And you don't want them to travel on down and use Whiskey Road, because there's a bunch of them. If all the big rig traffic on Powder House was routed down to Whiskey, you would have complete log jams. Whiskey Road is bad now. It would be absolutely horrible if the truck traffic on Powder House were to route to Whiskey Road. Powder House is a state road, and I'm pretty sure the reason for the 35-mile speed limit is because it's curvy and hilly, but mostly because it's primarily residential. But hardly anyone goes the speed limit. They fly. If you travel Powder House and try to do the speed limit, you will have horns blown at you, you will be tailgated, you will be cussed at. This through traffic doesn't even like you slowing down to turn into your own neighborhood. They'll blow the horn, they'll have the window down, and cuss you out. I've been working in my front yard and frequently heard it when neighbors turn into College Acres or Kensington. This residential road has become a huge overburdened bypass. Now, I already know the convenience store going in at Monday's Corner is going to extend the right-hand lane turn onto Whiskey. But the representative at the Planning Commission meeting for that project, which is also Mr. Philip Green, told me that that extended right-hand turning lane wasn't even going to go to the back of that lot. That's not going to be enough. One big rig or horse trailer or a landscape truck pulling a trailer that's turning left to head towards New Ellington will block off access to the right turn lane. Traffic trying to get on Whiskey from Powerhouse already frequently backs up to Banks Road. Not familiar, Banks Road is the first road to the right after you turn off Whiskey on the Powerhouse.
Ms. Wilkins, that's 5 minutes. So I'm gonna, if you don't mind, if you can finish that thought.
Okay. So what I see here is the making of another Daugherty Road. And in my opinion, what you're doing in your attempt to reduce access to Whiskey, you've got an apartment complex going behind Walgreens, several hundred new homes going in off to Latha Church Road, and at some point, I know it's coming, you're going to cut some kind of road from Whiskey over to Powderhouse, probably around Cracker Barrel. And when you do that, all that farmland will be ripe for development. How much more will that dump onto Powderhouse when all that land back there is developed? So I'm imploring you not to use Powderhouse as a dump for any development on Whiskey Road, be it commercial or residential. Please give the small, quiet, lovely neighborhood that is Kensington a break by not driving additional development through it. Kensington is not Woodside that can prevent any cut through. They don't have that kind of power, but y'all do.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you for hearing me.
Hey, we're going to hold discussion at this point. All those who agree with that, let's go on and do that. Stand. Okay. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Well, we are calling discussion on this issue.
I would appreciate the indulgence.
But I will indulge you for this time. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Lori Godreau. I'm at 293 Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike some of the people in Kensington, I do not own a home. I rent, but my sister and her husband do.
Mm-hmm.
We live right on Vanderbilt. It's busy, and I object to the fact that our representatives are speaking for our community, and they have not counseled or polled what we want. One objection to a signature on a petition was mine. That's one out of 75. The POA, they're saying the proposal now is going to be one POA. They have not come and asked our community what we want. I welcome the extra development, but separate from the existing Kensington with a separate entrance. And unlike the advantage of the community that has the Trinity Church and stuff, we do not have a traffic light. They do. There's no traffic light coming off of Vanderbilt onto Powderhouse. It's very hard to get in and out. And even with the extra lighting that has been blessed to us, and I appreciate, I would like you to consider the possibility of having the residential bring a little bit of commercial, because there is a buffer. They have more buffer than we do on Vanderbilt. And there are times just walking, because there are no sidewalks. The people that they say do not speed within our community do speed. I walk the community all the time. I walk behind the houses. There's no place to walk. There's no sidewalks anywhere that's safe on Powderhouse, on Vanderbilt, on Whiskey, all the way through. This is not a pedestrian-friendly community in Aiken. And that really needs to be addressed, and that's the core issue for me. But Yes, I rent, but I want to be a homeowner in this area, and it's very, it's dismal that this is being proposed, and a representative of our community has not counseled with his community, their community.
Thank you, Ms. Pedro. Comments from council?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Redmond.
The lady from Elmwood Park, her memo was in the package with the little map she referred to. I want to be sure that that's noted. I did receive 14 to 16 people that said they would prefer their name not to be on the petition, and of course that can't be changed because it's already in the minutes. I want to be sure that with all the discussion we've had in the last number of weeks, that what council is voting on tonight is the addition of 60 homes per the plan that's in here that Mr. Mary spoke of, and that the entrance would be on to Vanderbilt. So that is what we're voting on tonight. With all said and done, I want to be sure we understand what it is. Thank you.
Any other comments from council? All right, this is first reading.
Right.
Ms. Price.
Councilman Ebner, Fiske Road. What has been said about Fiske Road, there is no connection at all with the proposal based on what you've heard of Fiske Road in this request.
That's correct. There's no connection of the Kensington properties to Fiske. And then today, it's in the last number of years, there's been no through neighborhood traffic that was proposed in 2005.
Okay. I have a question, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Green.
Okay. Mr. Green, would you mind approaching?
Two questions, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the cost, and I asked you this before, of development if you did an entrance off of Whiskey?
I had estimated that cost at about $350,000.
Okay.
And I am a professional civil engineer for the last 20 years. This is what I do, site development.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very familiar with DOT requirements as far as DSL lanes,
okay,
the pavement sections that they require, so that's how I estimated that number.
And your comment is that it's cost prohibitive for you to do that?
For the residential to carry that kind of cost, yes, ma'am.
Yes. The second question is the development. In planning the 60 units, what were you thinking in terms of attraction? Were you thinking you'd attract more seniors given the population, what has been described as a senior, quiet, quaint community? Were you thinking you'd attract like people in that residential area to connect with this?
Yes, ma'am. The intent has always been to build a very similar, if not identical,
housing development for those there today, which
would presumably attract the same customers as what lives in that neighborhood now.
Okay.
In residents.
Quick question. You estimated $350,000. Does that include the opportunity cost or loss of opportunity? You said you would have to take out one home site, or is it just purely the construction that would be $350,000?
That was for the diesel lane work along Whiskey Road and the additional length of roadway. It doesn't really include the loss of those two units.
Okay.
I wondered that as well.
And you think it would be safe to bring 60 more units into this neighborhood that has no sidewalks? And
yes, the original streets were built to city standard, 28 foot wide back to back, which is your typical, it's really your typical two lane highway for traffic. Not that I would encourage anybody to walk on a highway, but that 12 foot lane width is very typical and wide enough for any development. And as far as the extra units, I know density has been brought up. We looked back at the original Kensington development that had 120, I think, units on the original approved development, of which only 87 were built. That density on that part of land was 4.5 units per acre. When you include these 60 units with the additional land, the overall density is 4.5 units per acre. so the density is exactly the same as the original approved Kensington development.
And you said that you're going to try and attract like people, in other words, senior residents.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments or questions from council?
I'm just speaking out aloud as I wrestle with my proposed vote. Because of the complaints that we've had in the past with business, and given what you've stated, Mr. Green, that the other option is to turn this area over to total business development, given the cost that's been discussed. And as we have neighborhoods that have business that abuts development, the complaints that we've heard in the past is about lighting, noise, all those things. If you just have businesses that abuts a neighborhood like yours, who's peaceful and tranquil as you are. And I have to ask myself, are you prepared for that? Do you want that? Because we've heard that quite a good bit in the past over my tenure here. So I'm wrestling with that at this point. So, but thank you, Mr. Green, for sharing that information.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions from council? All right, this is first reading. If it passes, Mr. Green, I would like a breakdown of, I know you've said it would be economically unfeasible for that, but I would like a breakdown. I think that someone else had requested that also. So if this passes first reading before second reading, I'd like to see that as well. All right, all those in favor of first reading for this time? Okay, that's Mr. Mary, Mr. Amoki, Mr. DeWar, Mr. Ebner, the mayor at 4, all those opposed, Ms. Price and Ms. Diggs. Okay, the motion carries on first reading. There'll be a second reading obviously posted, and we'll get some more information. So thank you. Okay. Absolutely. Take a minute. I appreciate everyone participating. And I'll make sure you get a chance to comment on second reading. Thank you. Hey, appreciate your comments. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate it. Here, let me give you my card. You can call me when we're not in a meeting, okay? All right. I do. I know. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Gary, to make sure that I was meeting. I mean, I have a
terrible choice.
To change in my
character. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I think we might need a motion.
Yeah, I think so.
I agree. Oh, wait. Well, let's just keep going until we get here. All right, we're going to call back the order this time.
Call me. Thank you.
Does
anybody object?
Okay. If no one on council objects, I would like to take something out of order at this time. We have
new business number 5.
I'd like to go to new business number 5. We have some folks who are here for that issue. And if there's no objection, I'd like to take it out of order at this time. Seeing none. We're going to take number 5 under new business, and then we'll go back and relate to where we were. Number 5 under new business, this is a first reading of an ordinance to amend the city code regarding special real property tax assessments for rehabilitated historic properties by title an ordinance amending the Aiken City Code regarding special real property tax assessments for rehabilitated historic properties. Is there a motion?
Move, Mr. Mayor.
From Mr. Mealy, is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Mr. Dewar. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, a provision of South Carolina state law that offers special tax assessment incentives to property owners who improve historic properties has been used to great effect throughout the region and the state. A recent staff review of the state code as amended in 2011 shows that the state code, also known as the Bailey Bill, provides greater discretion to municipalities than presently allowed in Section 38-8 of the Aiken City Code. The proposed amendment would grant City Council power to designate any structure historic, regardless of location or district, so long as the property is older than 50 years and determined to contribute to the historic character of the surrounding area. The amendment also lowers the investment threshold whereby an applicant can maintain current tax assessment for a period of 10 years following any renovation from 100% for commercial building and 75% for residential to 20% in both cases. City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to amend the City Code regarding special real property tax assessments for rehabilitated historic properties. And Mr. Mayor, as you know, we have a provision in place, but it is our feeling that we should do all that we can do to encourage our property owners to restore our historic buildings and structures. I know that we have present this evening some folks that were really the out in the forefront in terms of historic renovation and rehabilitation, people that we have worked with in support of these changes. Our goal is to get more property owners interested, more property owners to do what our good friends above the hardware store right here, right down the street, as a beacon of what this could be. And so we have present this evening Tim O'Brien on our staff, who has worked on this. We have our city attorney, who's very familiar with the legal ramifications. And as I said, there are people here that have actually restored historic properties and have been at the forefront and advocates to get the city to increase the number of tools in our toolbox to get people to do this type of rehabilitation.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. McClure. Any comments from the audience? Yes, sir. Good evening.
Charlotte Wiedemann, 66 Hayne Avenue and President of Historic Aiken Foundation. I had no intention of speaking tonight. I actually stumbled across a pamphlet from 1994 when the city first outlined this plan, and called, I believe it's Ryan Bland in the city office about it, and he said it was going to be on council meeting tonight. So I'm just absolutely thrilled that y'all are looking to make this more user-friendly and to incentivize more people to rehabilitate historic properties, because so frequently we see occur in review meetings for old properties that, oh, it's just too much to fix the house up, we might as well tear it down. And just last week, a property in the historic district on Marion was approved for demolition. So with that, I absolutely laud the efforts in this. My only concern with it, though, is I think there has to be a balance in this, and that some of the guidelines are perhaps a little intimidating. So while you are getting tax credits for them, the old-style windows, which I'll throw out there, rebuild an old window versus use something that's modern and more energy efficient and will actually be better for the environment in the long run and for the homeowner, because with old houses, they are difficult, they are constant work, and every little bit that makes it more palatable to someone who wants to renovate it or to actually live in it goes a long way. So yay on the tax incentives and matching grants for properties, but at some point, if we looked at some of the design review characteristics, that would make it more user-friendly and not something where people will resort to a demolition by neglect, because it is very easy for these to just say, oh, it's too cost prohibitive, tear it down. Thank you.
Charlotte, thank you for your comments. Ryan?
Good evening. I'm Ryan Hayslip, and my husband and I and our family own the True Value Hardware downtown. And we appreciate so very much the support that we have gotten during our renovations. We did discover when we applied for the Design and Review Board for our facade grant that started everything rolling. That was December 6th of 11. And we had a contractor from Columbia who was working in the Vista area. And my husband, Dad, took him on a tour, and he was very interested in what we had done. And he said, well, I surely hope you're taking advantage of Bailey's Bill. Well, we had never heard of Bailey's Bill. Aiken's tax incentive is named something different. But in doing some research with City Attorney Smith, we discovered that not one commercial property owner has ever used Bailey's Bill. It's that tight and restrictive, as Charlotte just mentioned. We have got to have some leeway, and I believe that Mr. O'Brien has the right formula. It allows you to designate even the piece of property in the overlay area as contributing without having to formally designate it as a landmark. A commercial property is a livelihood, and it must change as the purposes change. And I do believe that one reason that commercial property owners have not used this in the past is because it is too restrictive. And so I appreciate your consideration and all the support you have given us, and we'd like to move next door and renovate that one, maybe with your help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council?
I just have a question. I just want to make sure I understand it. First of all, let me say it's taken a long time to get here. It's way longer than it should have. But so as I understand this, if we're talking about a piece of property that's worth $100,000, is that what, on the property tax value?
The appraised value.
Okay. So then the occupant would have to spend more than $20,000 to improve the property.
Correct, with this amendment.
Okay. And then is all of the money that's spent on the rehabilitation then, how's all the money spent on rehabilitation taxed? It's got a 10-year something or other.
There's basically a 10-year period at which the city would defer the higher assessed value.
Okay.
So they would maintain their pre-renovation value for the period of 10 years, as long as they remain certified, if they didn't make any substantive changes later.
I'll come back to that. So, in the case of the hardware store, it had a value of X at the beginning. Any business, I'm not picking on the hardware store debt. You had a value in the beginning, and then you put apartments up above, so you don't tax the value, added value of the apartments and all the that total cost.
Correct.
For a 10-year period.
Correct.
And then after that 10-year period, it would revert to its normal tax basis?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. And the process under which this is done, so that the landowner doesn't get stymied. I sort of infer that they go to the design review board, and they have to convince the design review board has to approve this?
They will review the plans and certify the work that is to be done. In cases where a building is not already deemed historic, that could be brought before City Council for a specific determination. Any building over 50 years old that is considered significant by council for the purposes of this assessment could be so decided by council.
Okay, and then the city council have to approve it in any event?
The historic designation you would, yes.
Historic designation, but do they have to approve the Bailey Bill, the implementation of the Bailey Bill?
Specifically, there will be an administrative process for that part of it, where there is an application, there are state guidelines for how the review is to proceed. And there are different standards with archives and history for a historic landmark with the brass plaque on the front of it versus something that is historic and being renovated to that purpose.
This seems to give us a lot of flexibility.
Right. We would have to work with design review on, I know they would hate to hear it as different levels, but maybe a different approach to different types of historic property.
For sure, the property's got to be over 50 years old and considered historic.
Keep in mind that this is not Baileyville. This is Aiken's historic tax incentive for renovation. This is the whole point of this. Is different than the Baileyville because of the things that Ms. Wiedemann and Ms. Hayslip have cited.
And another important distinction, just to make for council, because it wasn't mentioned in the memo, that in some places where this has been used to greatest effect, it is employed on both the city and the county levels. Presently, the county has a similarly outdated ordinance that isn't being used much, but right now we're addressing only the city portion of the assessment.
Okay, and then on behalf of the city, we could then send a letter, council could send a letter to the county council asking them to implement this. I mean, this seems to me to be a really good measure to stimulate development, especially in the downtown area, but it doesn't apply to just downtown. It applies all over the city.
Be all over the city, wherever council designates, and I can tell you in my discussions with the business community, there's been a great deal of excitement and statements similar to that of, if I could get some help, I would move forward.
Yeah, great.
Mr. Mayor, if I might add to Mr. Bryan and others, this is particularly great for the downtown area, the north side, given the age of property there, the fact that there are some incentives that are needed to help developers want to invest in structures that have some age to it and place these structures that we have not received any tax revenue from for a long time back on the tax roll. So this is great.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. All those in favor of Aiken's Hayslip bill on first reading?
Well,
that's unanimous.
Is it Bailey's bill or not Bailey's
bill? It's not Bailey's bill.
We shouldn't call it that.
No.
We got a true value bill.
I would like to thank Dett and Leanne for their work on this issue and keeping it in front of council. I apologize for 5.5 years, but we're glad to be here tonight, aren't we? So thank you.
Thanks for your patience.
I'll join you with that. Thank you. We're going to go back now to old business as I'm going to number 4. Under old business, I appreciate council indulging me the opportunity to jump forward on that one. Number 4 under old business is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property owned by Margaret Davis Farfour, located on Oil and Cardinal Drive, from residential multifamily to limited professional LP. By title, an ordinance amending the zone of real estate owned by Margaret Davis Farfour from residential multifamily low density, RML, to limited professional LP. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
From Mr. Ebner, a second from Councilwoman Price. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the applicant is requesting rezoning of an undeveloped lot located at Oriole and Cardinal Drive from residential multifamily low density to limited professional. The applicant plans to construct a 1,400 to 1,500 square foot office building on the property. The facade would be residential in appearance with parking in the rear. The limited professional zoning would allow a transition between the higher intensity uses of the adjacent general business zoning district and the adjacent residential uses. The Planning Commission considered this request at their March 14, 2017 meeting. After review, the Planning Commission recommended by a vote of 4-2 for approval of the rezoning from residential multifamily to LP limited professional. City Council approved the ordinance on first reading at the March 27th meeting. For City Council consideration, the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property owned by Margaret Davis Farfour, located at Oriole and Cardinal Drive, from residential multifamily to LP limited professional.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Do we have a motion?
All right, all those in favor? That passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving down to number five under old business. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone a strip of land located on Richland Avenue adjacent to the shops at Richland Center. By title, an ordinance to rezone certain property owned by WG Development, LLC, from unzoned to general business GB. Do I have a motion?
So moved. I second.
Ms. Price made a motion. Ms. Diggs with a second. Thank you for that. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the applicant and owner, WG Development, LLC, is requesting rezoning of an undeveloped 20-foot strip of land containing 0.24 acres. The property is located on the southern side of Richland Ave near the SRP bank building and the shops at Richland. According to an old survey, the parcel is a remnant 20-foot ingress-egress easement that served adjacent properties. The strip of land has been quit-claimed to the applicant and will be combined with an adjacent parcel. The 20-foot strip has no parcel number or zoning assigned. The applicant is requesting a general business zoning to match the zoning of the larger parcel. The Planning Commission at the March 14th meeting considered the request and, after review, recommended to City Council that the 20-foot strip of land owned by WG Development, LLC, on Richland Ave be zoned as general business. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the March 27, 2017 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to zone a 20-foot strip of land owned by WG Development located on Richland Ave as general business.
Thank you, Mr. Clune. Is there any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Hearing none, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number six under old business. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to transfer three city-owned properties in Crawlsman Park to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation. By title, this is an ordinance approving the sale of three properties in Crawlsman Park to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation. Is there a motion?
I so move.
We have a motion from Councilwoman Diggs and a second from Councilwoman Price. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, after recent discussions regarding housing in Aiken, the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation has expressed an interest in acquiring three city-owned properties in Crosland Park that are presently rental housing. The properties are 1152 Corner Street, 1160 Corner Street, and 1249 George Street. Staff is recommending that the city transfer these properties to Second Baptist CDC for $1 per property. Second Baptist has been a longtime partner of the city in the Northside revitalization and has a proven track record with other housing partners. Their success can be seen in the DuPont Landing project. Second Baptist CDC has made workforce housing more accessible in Aiken through their partnerships with Nehemiah CRC and the Bennett Group. Currently, the City of Aiken and Second Baptist CDC have partnered for the Neighborhood Initiative Program in Crosland Park in the 400 and 500 blocks of Abbeville Avenue with an agreement with Second Baptist CDC and Nehemiah CRC to develop the Abbeville area into workforce housing. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the March 27, 2017 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to transfer three houses in Crosland Park to the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation, with the properties to be developed into workforce housing.
Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Yes. Just want to add, Mr. Mayor, that Harvey is in back along with a number of Second Baptist members in the audience, and we just appreciate the spirit of faith that you have with council and the community as well with what we're trying to do to be partners with you.
Harvey, I would second that. It's amazing the partnership that we have and the good that you're bringing to the community. So thank you, the Nehemiah Group and the Second Baptist, for really doing a great work for us. And how many houses do we have left now, Mr. Pender? Very good. Any other comments from council?
We would encourage Second Baptist to buy those five.
We're making them a good deal, aren't we? So,
we'll make them a deal they can't refuse.
All right, all those in favor? Of course, that's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you. All right, moving down to new business. Number one, our new businesses is a resolution accepting a grant from SCENG for the Northside Park by title and a resolution authorizing the City of Aiken to accept a grant from South Carolina Electric and Gas Company for the Northside Park. Is there a motion?
I so move.
With a motion, is there a second? All over the house, I think Mr. Ebner had it first, so we have a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, it has been requested that we put an item on the agenda for the approval for South Carolina Electric and Gas Company to be the provider of electric service and natural gas service to the new Northside Park. To assist with the cost of developing the Northside Park, SCENG is offering a community development grant in the amount of $100,000 to the City of Aiken. The grant offer is contingent upon the City of Aiken selecting SCENG as the sole electric service provider and natural gas service provider for the entire park site, including all phases. Mr. Scott Neely notes that the Northside Park is located within SCENG's assigned electric service territory. SCENG can extend primary voltage lines throughout the park as needed and conserve the entire park site. SCENG would extend an existing overhead primary line onto the park site, and as park facilities are constructed, SCENG would extend underground primary lines within the interior of the park to serve the facilities. Natural gas service is already available at the park site. If the city chooses SCENG as the gas and electric service provider, SCENG would provide a community development grant for $100,000 to assist with the cost of developing the Northside Park. For City Council consideration is approval of a resolution designating SCENG as the electric and natural gas service provider for the Northside Park and acceptance of the $100,000 community development grant for the Northside Park.
Thanks. Any comments from the audience? Okay. Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Can you just say your name and address?
Hello. Dwayne Brown, 1220 Aiken, Two Notch Road. I appreciate you, Mr. Mayor, council members, for this opportunity to go on record with some of my issues and concerns. Where can I begin? This issue is ongoing. According a stat for you real quick, according to South Carolina Commission for Minority Affairs, Aiken median families income for white families for income annually is $64,573 a year. And annually for a black family is $37,811 a year. African American families today, one in three African American families in Aiken live in poverty. And many of those families live on Aiken's north side. Poverty destroys communities, first and foremost. All parents deserve the opportunity to provide their children with a better life, a better way of living. I'm happy to see new businesses on the north side, but Yeah, we need more. We need the North Side Park there to drive traffic into the North Side communities, to increase patronism to our local businesses and stores, make income and economics a first in this situation. The North Side is a poverty for the city, Increasing jobs is a statement to tell poverty it cannot stand in the city of Aiken. We want to give the people of this city, this great city which I live in, an opportunity to grow it better and to develop each other even more. Thank you, Council and Mayor.
Thank you. Well said.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Yes, sir. Hey, Mr. White. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Eugene White. I'm the president of the Aiken County branch of the NAACP. It's been a while, but it's always fantastic to join you in this fantastic setting. Very quickly, I'd like to congratulate the county, or the city rather, for obtaining this grant. It always excites me when industry can come along the city to help fund the projects that are necessary for the betterment of quality of life for all citizens. And I really personally think that public-private partnerships really are a viable solution in solving a lot of our budget shortfalls. So in conclusion, I'd like to say that I'm very excited about this. Thank you for making this happen, and I look very forward to seeing other sorts of public-private partnerships take place in the future so that we can continue to push the projects that are really going to make life better for all citizens of Aiken. Thanks.
Thank you. Being here tonight. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Is there a specific use for this money, or is it just going into the park? We talked about the trail at one point in time. Is this?
No, it's used for the property.
Just into the park. Okay. Appreciate it.
Just add to Scott. If you have more, we'll take more. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott and SCNG for this partnership. Hey, all those in favor? And of course, that's unanimous. Thank you. We appreciate the comments also. Thank you. New business number two. This is recommendation from Accommodations Tax Committee for allocations of ATAX funds. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
We have a second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, at their March 16th, 2017 meeting, the Accommodations Tax Committee met to discuss additional funding available from the Accommodations Tax Funds. The Accommodations Tax Committee considered the issue and has recommended to the Council that the funds be distributed as outlined in the agenda. A total of $494,388 was requested. A total of $262,000 was recommended to be funded. The City Council consideration is approval of the recommendation of the Accommodations Tax Committee for distribution of the Accommodations Tax funds. I know our staff, Jen Burkhart, is here with members of the Accommodations Tax Committee. I see member Peggy Penlin here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Are there any comments from the audience? Good evening.
Today that we share with you.
Okay, and if you would just.
And Shadow.
Peggy, I know
my name is Peggy Penlin. I live at 79 Troon Way.
Welcome, Peggy.
The Diane Shaddix Foundation for Tremor informed Jenny today that they no longer need to get this $1,500. So it's the third item. So that $1,500 requested for allocation, and it will just go into next year's funding.
Okay.
That was the book signage?
No,
Aiken Wine and Sign.
Aiken Wine and Sign, yes.
Aiken Book Signing, yes, that's it.
Peggy, this. a few items on here I've never seen before.
We had four new applications. We had new applications this year.
Okay. The Shake, Rattle, and Roll, and Christmas in the 1800s. The Culture Center asked for $18,000.
Oh, yeah.
And they got two.
Yes. Would you like me to explain that?
Yes.
Okay. They have been receiving funding over the years, and unfortunately, they have not been able to provide us with any surveys or any.
But the website updated, I think, last year. That was an issue. The website hadn't been updated. There hadn't been any activity on there.
Right.
And is that still an issue?
Well, the website is great, but the problem is that we are bound by the rules of the state.
Right.
And every applicant is obliged to give us proof of the people that have come through. They have to do surveys of the people that have come through the center and give us, they don't interview or survey everybody, but randomly, they get a sample.
But heads to beds, too, right?
In they can give us a good estimate of how many heads on beds. And you will, if you look on this list, you will see that the first two applicants received no funding.
Right.
Okay, and then if you go down, you know, there are as many as 7,900 heads on beds for number six,
okay.
The Horse Park Foundation.
They just have this sheet with how much is being applied.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay, so we have more information than you do. Sorry.
Okay.
But, for instance, the Aiken Horse Park Foundation, which is a new applicant, they have been in existence and they have firm numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the hotel nights generated are 7,920 hotel stays, and they received $5,000. So, or they haven't received it yet. It depends on your approval. But this is a museum that we want to survive. We want this to do well. We depend on the application to be filled out in a certain way, and the only thing that we could get was, well, we're going to have family reunions. But this has been going on for years. You know, this has been going on for years now. And there was money allocated last year for a grand opening that did not take place.
That's good.
So
I'm not criticizing.
Our hands are tied. I mean, we really want to support this group. So my recommendation would be to counsel with them, and I know that Jenny has done so,
right,
about how to get these surveys.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay.
Peggy, let me make a recommendation, and I'll work with you on this, is for you to make a presentation to this board. We have some questions, and both of you.
We'll be happy.
And just go before the entire board to let them know the requirements and let them know how they can improve their chances of getting a greater amount from this this funding.
Right.
And I will see to it that you'll get in front of this group to do that.
I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Let's see.
Thank you.
I hope that succeeds, because this is about the eighth discussion
I know,
that we've had on this. And
but we haven't had Peggy to.
You know, I just don't know what happens, but the money's there. If they just, when I go to certain events out of the state, I have to sign a little piece of paper where I'm from, and that's all they're asking for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please pass on to your committee as well. We appreciate
the
time spent on this.
But while we have the group here, you need to understand, too, there are funds. We have about $500,000 of requests that has come to us, and we're funding almost, is it $300,000? Close to $300,000? $262,000. And we want to make sure that there's equity in sharing these dollars. But in terms of diversity, we don't have the diversity participation that none of us are happy with. And to increase that, then you have to make a request for these funding, and we're not seeing those requests come before this committee to review. So you can spread the word this money is available, but you have to request the funding and do the proper work in terms of documentation, and Peggy and her committee can assist you with that. Thank you.
I'm going to ask our city folks, who made that motion in second? Do you know?
I did. Okay. Motion and second.
I'm going to ask, would you mind removing those and let's making it as amended with the change to the sign one?
Yes.
You make the motion as amended?
As amended.
And a second.
Okay.
Very good. All those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you.
I just want to offer a quick comment and a note of appreciation to Peggy, because this has got to be one of probably the hardest jobs to actually have to sort through these things, and you want to probably give all the money to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've done it for a lot of years, and so I just again applaud what you do and your whole committee. And I know it's really probably not a whole lot of fun sometimes.
Thank you. Moving down to number three, this is a first reading of an ordinance amending the city code to include electronic cigarettes in the smoking regulations. By title, an ordinance amending section 22-65 of the Aiken City Code to include electronic cigarettes in the smoking regulations. Is there a motion?
So move.
Second.
Mr. Edner made the motion. The second was by Councilman Mary. Comments from staff?
Yes. Mr. Mayor, at the work session on March 13, 2017, our Director of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, Jessica Campbell, discussed with Council the adoption of a tobacco-free policy for the outdoor recreational facilities, including city-owned parks, playgrounds, and youth athletic fields. During the discussions, it was noted that the city's smoke-free regulations regarding no smoking indoors in public places did not include electronic cigarettes. This proposed ordinance would amend the smoking regulations and not allow any electronic cigarettes in any manner or in any form in public places. For City Council consideration, is first reading of an ordinance to amend the smoking regulations in the City Code to include prohibiting the smoking of any electronic cigarettes in any manner or in any form in public places.
Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Comments from Council? All those in favor? And that passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving down to number four under new business, this is a first reading of an ordinance to lease property in Vereen's Industrial Park to Aiken County S1 LLC. By title, an ordinance approving the lease of property at Vereen's Industrial Park. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Councilwoman Price. Mr. Edner made the second. Thank you. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, since the late 1940s, the city has owned property near the intersection of US 1 and I-20. This property was deeded to the city by the federal government and included an old US Army Air Corps airfield. In the early 1970s, a portion of the property was released for use as the Vereen's Industrial Park, which over the years had been occupied by a number of industries and warehouses. A 146-acre parcel is still owned by the city on the northern side of the industrial park, bordered by Wyndham Boulevard and I-20. This property is unimproved primarily due to its steep topography, and a portion of the parcel is considered wetlands. Late last year, we were approached about leasing on purchasing up to 35 acres of the northern parcel, portion of the parcel, to install solar panels. After review and discussion, we agreed on a lease for Council's consideration. The main tenets of the lease include $500 per acre with a 5% increase in the per acre cost every 5 years. The lease is for 25 years with the potential for five 5-year renewals. Initially, the firm would hold an option on the 35 acres for up to 36 months, paying the city $1,000 per year for an exclusive option while they finish their due diligence. All taxes resulting in improvements to the property would be paid by the leasee, not the city. The full 35-acre lease would result initially in $17,000 per year, which would be deposited in the Aiken Regional Airport's revenues per conditions of this property being released from the FAA when the industrial park was created. For council consideration is first reading of an ordinance for a lease of city property at Vereen's Industrial Park. And as you know, Mr. Mayor, we have our city airport, regional airport manager present this evening to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any comments from the audience?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff of the City of Aiken. Thank you for granting me the time to speak today. My name is Mike Berry. I'm the Director of Land Development for Sol America Energy. Sol America, Aiken County S1 LLC is a wholly owned subsidiary of Sol America Energy. We're a solar energy developer out of Atlanta, Georgia. We are very active in South Carolina. We are actually working on a project right now at MTU, which I think is in Graniteville, but not very far from here at all. We're actually putting
Aiken County for sure.
Aiken County, and we've also recently completed a project at Collins Lumber, not too far away from here as well. But we're putting in pilings at MTU today. We think this site is unique because it's adjacent to a lot of industry, but the land that we're looking at isn't really suitable for construction. The portion of the property we're looking to lease has a slope between 10 and 20 degrees when we did a desktop analysis. And so it fortunately is sloped south, which is good for solar. It's the right direction. The reason we're only looking at this portion is other portions of the property, as was mentioned, have wetlands. We want to avoid construction in those. And other parts have northern-facing slopes, which we need to avoid as well. So we're very bullish on solar in South Carolina. There's been a lot of really good legislation here, and we're also bullish on solar in SCEG. We like Aiken. There's a lot of industry here. We like some of the tenants in this industrial park that, you know, kind of had some preliminary discussions with them about if they'd be interested in you know, buying energy from the sites, and it seems positive. So just here to answer any questions you guys have. This is very early stages, and but I appreciate you letting us approach you about it.
How has the company been in existence, Mike?
Since 2009. We've been in South Carolina probably for the last couple of years. Okay. Really, only since very recently has there been kind of legislation to really open up the solar market here. So.
Very, very good. Well, we appreciate the partnership that you're offering with the city.
Thanks. We like to find properties like this too that are maybe underutilized. Mm-hmm. It's a good fit. Like I said, there's a lot of kind of assessment that needs to go on the ground, but we think we could do a fixed tilt array there. It wouldn't have any moving parts. It would just be rows of panels.
Any other questions?
So it's 35 of 146 acres, right?
On the exhibit that on the copy is not very clear because it's in black and white, but right. I have a color.
Do you have to clear the trees and what have you?
Yes, we do.
Is there any value in the trees on the property?
And that's something you guys can sell the timber. We're not interested in any timber on it. The reason the southern border kind of zigzags is that's following the border of the wetland on the property. It looked like a stream running kind of east-west. So we're kind of sticking close to the interstate. And then when you get on the south side of that stream, the slope slants northward pretty steep up to the road that goes in the industrial park. So That's all. We haven't done any on-the-ground analysis at this point, but that's all from this topo maps, kind of FWS wetlands information we have.
Would it be visible from the interstate?
It would be the back of the farm, so we could, if that's an issue, landscape along it or leave a tree buffer, because the trees would be to the north of the panels. It shouldn't affect them. The ones on the east and west side would be, or to the south, would be more of an issue.
So far, there have not been buffered from the interstate.
No, I'm just
curious. There's several along 85, and then...
Yeah, I'm just curious.
The bigger issue here is probably getting FAA approval because of... I already did a notice to exceed analysis, so we're going to have to get FAA approval because we're so close to the airport here before we can actually build. So that's probably just one of the development milestones that we're going to be having to tackle pretty early on. Also, glare assessment, I think Stuart had brought that up, but that's another issue. So
if FAA doesn't approve it, that,
you know, might very well just kill the project.
Sure. You know, Mr. Mayor, if I could just add that over the last couple of years when we debated the city budget, when we got to the issue of the airport budget, there was a recognition that we continue to subsidize the operation, and there was an expression by councilors that we should continue to search out ways for new revenues. Stuart has worked long and hard on this, and you know, over the last couple of years, people have not been that forthcoming with innovation and creativity for additional revenues. And so I just wanted to recognize Stuart for his hard work in this regard, working with Soul America on this. I hope that it will put back on the front burner the issue of additional revenues for the airport operations. We're looking at the parcels of land that are under the domain of the airport to see if some of the land can be subdivided, to see if we can generate more interest in generating revenues so that we can get to a point where the airport is a true enterprise account and not costing the taxpayers of the city of Aiken additional money. So I just wanted to applaud Stuart for his efforts.
And Stuart, John beat me to that, but thank you for your efforts. I know how much work you put into this, and appreciate your job as airport manager and seeking this out. It's a tremendous effort and a great opportunity for us. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor. Aiken County S1 LLC.
Yes, ma'am.
Based out of Atlanta. This question is leading to job training, more exposure with young people, older people that may have an interest in solar energy and getting involved. So you have an Atlanta-based operation. Will there be anybody here somehow to connect with some jobs? Are there any jobs here in that area?
On a project like this, it's temporary construction, and unfortunately, I don't know who we're using for construction contractors right now on MTU, but I could find that out. I mean, they have to be licensed in South Carolina,
right.
So what I could do is maybe between now and the second hearing, kind of do some research on who we're using for our South Carolina construction and get you that information.
That would be great.
But it is, I mean, we'll say, like, you know, one thing in solar, it does create jobs. It's temporary construction, so
I know,
that's the unfortunate side about this is because once it's built, it's just there.
Once someone has the skill, they could move to other places where you have
there's
the solar.
There's like O&M work, so there's like, you know, grass cutting, maintaining the facility, ongoing like repair work, but it's very intermittent. Like it's not going to be like someone at the site all the time. So. And a construction cycle on this is probably, if we built the full 6 megawatts, you know, 90 to 120 days, maybe as long as 6 months, but a pretty fast turnaround once we get notice to proceed on a project like this.
Mike, thank you for being here tonight.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks very much.
Ms. Stuart, thank you again for your work on this. Are there any other comments from the audience? Comments, questions from council?
Since we're talking about the airport, I just want to say how impressed I was. I went out there on Thursday. I guess Thursday, it could have been Friday. Time flies when you're having fun. It was a slow day anyway. It didn't seem slow to me, but it seemed slow to those folks. I spoke with Mike and Victor Robbins and Mickey Antiperio, and I'll tell you what, I saw client service at its peak. I mean, those guys are very focused on taking care of every aircraft that lands and dealing with them properly and so forth. And I hope we can use some of this money somehow to maybe start thinking about tearing down a couple of hangars and replacing them with newer hangars and generating more revenue so we can get revenue, generating revenue. So
they represent us well out there.
Yeah, they do. They did a great job. They do a great job every year.
All right, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. We've already covered new business number 5 previously. We're moving down to petitions and requests. Number 1 is a request for approval of bid for stormwater line stabilization at 422 South Boundary. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Ebner with a motion. Councilman DeWall made the second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, a sinkhole was discovered at the section of the city's stormwater pipe on property located at 422 South Boundary. Investigation of the sinkhole indicated that the sinkhole resulted due to stormwater flowing behind the stormwater pipe and destabilizing the soil around the pipe and junction boxes. The staff requested bids for proposal to complete the stabilization of the 7-foot diameter stormwater line. 2 bids were received, and staff is requesting approval to award the bid to the lowest bidder at $48,000. The project would take about 5 days to complete. It is proposed to use stormwater funds for this work. For council consideration is approval to spend $48,000 from the stormwater fund to stabilize the stormwater line located at 422 South Boundary.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number 2 is an update. It's an update on SCDOT and city plans for the Fairfield and Union Street bridges. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, it was requested that we put this agenda on the agenda, I suspect, so we might begin a conversation about those. I actually don't have any information at this time about the future of those bridges, but I would turn it over to Council Member Ebner, who asked us to put it on the agenda and see where he would like to go with it.
The other one, kind of giving a little history, Mr. Mary may can do a better job than I can, but literally nothing happened, and we talked about the bridges for a number of months. Nothing happened until they closed it. I don't think anything is going to happen unless somebody talks to Senator Young, our new representative, Bartwell, and we're fixing to have another new representative. So I think in this case, somebody from council, maybe Mr. Mary, since it's your next door to it, somebody's going to have to stir them up to get SCDOT to do the next bridge. If we wait here thinking they're going to do it, hey, we're dreaming. So unless I think the city does something, it's going to sit there.
All right.
When I say city, I think it's going to take a push from the political side. It's pure political, especially since the bridge has been closed. You know, the traffic patterns are not that different. So however we want to handle it, but I think we've got two new representatives that probably could help us out in that particular case.
All right. Thank you, Councilman Ebner. Moving down, petitions and requests. Number 3, this is approval of resolution accepting a deed of dedication of roads from Sandalwood Homeowners Association, Inc. by title, a resolution authorizing the acceptance of a deed of dedication of roads from Sandalwood Homeowners Association, Inc. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. And second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, the Sandalwood Homeowners Association has requested the city accept a deed of dedication of the roads and property that includes the water system, sewer system, stormwater, detention pond, landscape islands, utility easements, and associated equipment within the subdivision. The engineering staff has inspected the existing infrastructure and has determined that it meets city requirements. Staff is recommending that the deed of dedication be accepted by the city from the Sandalwood Homeowners Association. The city council consideration is a resolution to accept the deed of dedication from the Sandalwood Homeowners Association, accepting the roads, water, stormwater drainage, and sanitary sewer utilities and associated utility easements.
Thank you, Mr. Clay. Any comments from the audience?
Comments from council? All those in favor?
And that's unanimous. Thank you.
It took 7 years to get here. Concept plan, the zoning is not correct and some other things, but we finally got through it.
Very good. Anything under issues and updates?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to highlight one item that I think is very, very important, and I'd like to read it. Similar to our policy for garbage, residents with physical limitations do not have to roll out their recycling carts to the curb. City staff will pick up recycling carts from those residents. To have the service implemented, they need to call 642-7613. 642-7613. And I'd like to thank staff for doing that, because there are people that just put recycling materials in the green barrel because they couldn't get it up. So thanks to staff, we'll add to our recycling program.
We just heard at the workshop that recycling for the month of March is significantly increased.
So that's very encouraging. I just want to say congratulations to Aiken's own Kevin Kisner, who represented us well on a national stage over in Augusta. Augusta Nationals, and very proud of that. He made the cut and did well. And I'd echo what Councilman DeWar said earlier about our airport. They do a terrific job representing us in this time. So if you get a chance to ever go out there that week, it's just amazing seeing those planes. So with that, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Price?
Dr. Johnson, I need to see you, please.
Who's the second?
Dr. Johnson.
Ms. Biggs, all in favor, please stand up. We're adjourned.
Second. What do you need, someone?